is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love
When Calls the Heart.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like When Calls the Heart.
I'm Dan. I despise When Calls the Heart, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Guys, it's When Calls the Heart Day. I could not be more motivated.
Yeah.
Did anybody in the ska world, Dan, think about the name Skankin' for the dance and the ska music is a weird name?
Can I tell you that being a ska kid of the 90s and learning about ska before I learned about what a skank was did present itself some problems as I got older, because like, I mean, I was 11, 12 and I knew what skanking was, the dance.
Right.
And I didn't know what a skank was.
Hey, don't stop skanking.
Don't stop skanking. There were names of bands. Skank and Pickle was the name of an actual band. Of it was weird to learn that.
That can be problematic.
I felt as though that had been stolen from what was a very harmless dance you did to ska music. Yeah, you get it. You just a little kick, little opposite.
Have you seen the ska doc, Pick It Up?
I think you showed it to me.
I showed it to you?
No, the ska doc, Pick It Up. Yes. No, I've not seen it start to finish. I've seen a trailer for it.
The sequel's better, Put It Down.
Put It Down? Oh my gosh.
Be right on, man.
Thanks.
So right on. I love it. We're talking about When Calls the Heart. I thought it was good.
Thanks. Some people have early reviews on this episode are in. They're saying best of Panda so far.
Early reviews of an episode that hasn't taken place
yet. Right.
Yeah. That checks. That tracks for sure.
Yeah, for real.
What, who was that in the during the Christmas season? Someone, B's blog? Guys, we're talking about One Calls the Heart, season 2, episode 4. Mm. The episode is called
Nothing Burger.
Okay.
Jack and the Counterfeiters.
Crime and Punishment.
Guys, I will be honest. If there's one thing that I've noticed with One Calls the Heart, I can hear every hit.
You can hit all of them?
Everyone.
Every kick you make.
Can you hear this one?
The When Calls the Heart episode titles mean nothing.
The show means nothing. What are you talking about? The titles mean nothing.
Season 2, episode 3, Heart's Desire. Okay. Season 2, episode 2, Heart and Soul. Okay. Now, the only one that works is episode 1, which is Trials of the Heart.
Yeah,
it's a good episode.
Do they all have the word heart in them?
Not this one. Awakenings and Revelations.
No, neither of those things happen the whole episode. Spoiler alert. Stop the podcast. Don't watch the show. There are no awakenings and there are no
revelations.
It doesn't happen.
There's
in
a
the
couple
show.
Revelations.
Oh, a couple revelations.
Yeah, but I guess about Jack Wagner's character. Maybe.
Oh, there's not about him. I think there's revelations about the dance, the theater. They're gonna build a theater.
Thank God.
Let's get to the synopsis, shall we, guys? Quit stealing my thunder. Awakenings and Revelations originally aired on May 23rd, 2015. And it went a little something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Clara.
It was the year 2015.
You guys know Clara?
Astronauts had landed on planet Plotamar.
Clara.
Streets were dire.
As
the Platamarians began to fire Glorb from all orifices.
Clara.
2015.
Is Abigail's daughter-in-law. You know Clara. Got married to Peter before before he died.
Every orifice, huh?
That was more interesting than the whole episode of Synopsis, I promise you. Platamar.
So Clara. Clara's in town. Hey, move there, remember?
Your armpit, bro.
No way. It's wild. Platamar. Oh, man.
She's in town now. And all the boys are flocking
to the yard?
Especially this one. A name I did not write. Bill is back in town on business and tries to talk Abigail into talking to him. And she's like, I'm not interested. How's your wife? Still does not clarify who that woman is that says that.
Nora is his wife.
Yes. But remember, he said he didn't have a wife. Who is she?
That's Nora for you.
Abigail is also trying to figure out how to love and support Clara now that she's living in town. Bill and Jack seem to have a bit of a riff, but Jack does not know why, and that's a bummer. Rosemary wants to start a playhouse and do plays. She asks Lee to build it, and he says, no. Bad news, boys. We're back in Hamilton for about 5 seconds.
Hey.
Elizabeth's sisters, Jack's brother, they are in a car. Abigail tells Clara that she should go on a date. And that's what Peter would want her to do. Forgive me, Pa. Charles is in town from Hamilton, and who can blame him? Am I right, boys? Didn't tell anybody. Turns out he's there actually to see Lee about some business. Elizabeth's like, oh, I thought you were here to see me. It meant to be like wah, 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 but it just came out wah, wah. Jack saved Bill's life in the woods after he gets shot by some hoodlums. And he's mad at him for doing that because he says, you blew my cover. But then he's like, thanks anyways for doing that. Jack then talks to Charles about fishing. He's really talking about love and really tells him to shove off. But on the way back to town, on his way back to Hamilton,
Lattimore alive.
He's about to leave it
at
for
least
Hamilton.
Now with your sense of smell.
And Elizabeth kisses him on the cheek. Jack watches and Bill's there. And Bill's like, how about that, huh? And that, my friend, was When Calls the Heart Awakening Revelations.
We did it.
Huh.
Yes, we did.
Everyone.
No way.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
Too, yeah.
We'll talk more about that and this and everything else here on Deck the Hallmark. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about When Calls the Heart, Awakenings, Revelation, Season 2, Episode 4.
Already? Oh, my goodness.
We have 4 segments to break this episode down, and we're going to start with a hot take. Hot take, what did we think about it? I'm going to start with my good friend Panda. Panda, what do you think, pal?
Second best episode of the season behind Trials of the Heart, but that is a meaningless statement because this season has been bad, and all of these episodes are not good.
Can I take a guess why it's the second best? It's because there was a gunshot.
There was a gunshot.
There it is.
There's a gunshot.
Gunshot.
And there was the only thing was the trial was better than anything else we've had this season, so trial. There was a gun. Was there a gunshot last week? There was somebody with a gun.
Somebody was practicing shooting. Was that
no? Somebody got no. That was somebody got hurt. Hit with somebody. Jack punched somebody.
Yeah, Jack punched somebody. That's accurate.
But this week we got gunshot and somebody got punched. So that means this one's up a little bit higher. The rest of it, I don't understand anything right now.
No.
Jack and Elizabeth, who we've spent the entire first season watching them desperately fall in love with each other, are now, after a few weeks, are ready to part ways and go, like, they never hang out with each other. There's no chemistry going on there. All of the characters that we, like, there's no...
I'm so mad.
It's frustrating.
I want to get Lissing back on the show, and I want to get Krako back on the show, because I have so many questions. Like, and most of them are just season two. What happened?
I don't understand. I stand by the fact that the longer you're in Hope Valley, it's better, I guess, in Hope Valley. The Hamilton scenes make no sense.
Yeah, well, I guess Hope Valley this week is miles better than Hamilton this week.
Yes.
Because that's the biggest weight what of the century.
Whatever. Anyway, this... So there's my stance. Second best of the season, but it's a meaningless statement because season two is bad. It's a bad season. It's so boring it hurts. So boring it hurts.
Yeah.
You guys know I try to be a light in the darkness.
Thank God you guys are finally coming around.
I'm sad we didn't get to see more of the car driving, you know?
That's when you know.
Guys, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's just pack it up. Let's try again. Let's just try again. Let's just run it back. We'll try again next season.
I'll be optimistic next week, though, because this is every week now. I'm like, it'll be better next week.
You remember the good old days of Billy Hamilton and Abigail trying to open the cafe and Gowan in the mine and the burned church? Do you remember those days?
Yeah.
Boy, I miss those days. I miss them. This is a
simpler time.
An absolute rudderless ship on a bridge to nowhere. We are stuck in the desert, and there's not even a mirage of water. There is nothing to be found. Like, I feel like I'm being buried alive watching these episodes of television. Like, I feel bad because I gave the show Lost such a hard time that year before they had the end date of the show figured out and they were making a season of television and it was clearly they were just stretching for no reason. That is pure art compared to what is going on. It is like they're trying to run out the clock on life on this show. They are just like, maybe if we do one more episode, we'll all be buried underneath the ground and then disappear and biodegrade into the ether. How can we make life seem more like a vapor and meaningless? Another episode of Wind Calls the Heart. This is the worst. And I'll tell you why it's the worst. Is because I am not judging based upon my experience as a whole. I'm judging minute by minute. Per minute of bad, it doesn't get worse than this. This 43 minutes of bad packed a punch. It was a knockout. Are some of the other ones worse because they're 80-some minutes, infinity, whatever? Yes, but minute for minute, this is as bad as television gets. I've never been depressed in my life. I'm about to get there, guys. I'm about
tough.
To seep into a deep depression. I just don't know how you guys do it. I long for season one. I yearn for the good old days of season one of Coal Valley and Wind Calls the Heart. This is awful.
There's no Gowan in this episode either.
No Gowan.
There's
no purpose.
Who were the bad guys? They were counterfeiters.
Is that
what the issue was? It is
absolutely inexcusable that this is television. And you know, I noticed something else today because I'm fully convinced that this season is all about making sure the super conservative Christians love it like the books. The saloon, the sign for the saloon makes a cross. Why? Why does it do that?
I don't know.
Good gracious. I got to be honest. This episode was a bigger waste of time than some poor just nobody building an entire stage so Pascal Hutton could sing for 10 seconds. Because that happened in this episode. Yeah. I booed. It got an audible boo from me.
Yeah, you did.
It did.
You did boo.
It's terrible, guys. I'm just downtrodden.
Let's talk about the feels. Part of the show, we talk about one of this episode gave us his feels. Panda.
Credits.
I mean, I guess it's sweet when she's singing to him from the stage that they built. That's the best part.
You know, I get feels seeing Elizabeth's sister and Jack's brother. She's really, everything she says to him sounds dirty. And so seeing them together gives me feels. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Deck the Home.
Wait a minute. You skip my feels, how dare you. This episode has a very abrupt ending. Like all of a sudden it just ends. I couldn't believe it because every other episode has like an epilogue kind of thing. This thing just ended and that made me happy. Those are my feels.
It's time for the Wait What. It's the part of the show we talk about what in this episode of television made us go wait what, and I'll start with the good for Panda.
Bill Avery's character in general. Yeah. He is there a bigger personality shift between episodes than Bill Avery jumping all down Jack's throat? Like, I just don't understand.
Well, he's clearly undercover and he's trying to put on this front so that he doesn't blow his cover by showing up and following him. I get that. He is in a different show.
It doesn't make any
sense. Jack Wagner's just in, and I will say this, I didn't get to in the hot take. I do feel like one of the reasons this season's terrible, aside from just the overall show running, is that the gang's just not together.
Yep.
Like in the first season, everybody has scenes with everybody. You know, like Lissing, Krako, Lachlan, Wagner, the guy that plays Gowan, they all have scenes together. In this, it's like everybody's on an island. Yep. Acting in their scenes, and they don't ever see the other people, and it's like we're watching not one bad television show, we're watching like four different equally bad television shows, and it's terrible. But his character is 100% off the reservation, just a very crazy performance.
But he's not even doing the same character he was 4 or 5 episodes ago. Like, no. It's a completely different, it doesn't make sense.
It's real bad.
It's just... He's also a more hostile individual. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand Jack and Elizabeth at this point.
No.
They share such little screen time.
Oh, no.
And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to set up Charles. Is that the name of her?
Marcus Rosner.
But that's a dead end for a narrative. It hasn't played out yet in the first 4 episodes, guys. Like, give it a rest. Like, it's not... everyone wants to see Jack and Elizabeth face the frontier. That's what you want.
I wouldn't word it like that, but yeah, sure, that's what we want.
That's what I want.
Face the frontier.
Face the frontier.
Well, yes. So my, obviously, what is the point of the car?
Thank you.
Of Jack's brother and Elizabeth's sister driving in a car. I don't know the point of it yet. But maybe we will get that next week. And I just also, you know, you mentioned that Bill is just all over the place personality-wise. I laughed in my heart. All episode, he's so hostile towards Jack.
Yeah.
But the minute there's some sweet, sweet goss, he's just like, what do you think's going on there, Jack? Like, he spots with his binoculars. Uh-oh, kiss on the cheek. Where's Jack's there? Hey, Jack.
Hey,
what's going on there? He just ducks out. Leaves Jack by his lonesome. That guy has been hostile all episode, but give him some sweet, sweet gossip, and he is there. He's there.
His drama bowl was so full.
Yes. He said,
Ooh, this is good. This is good.
It's just his voice. I've been out of commission for so long now. I don't know what's going on. My wife... ex-wife, don't know, but she's there. Can't even talk to Abigail anymore. What do I have except for this?
Jack was happening.
Ooh.
Kind of spicy, huh?
We'll watch from over here on the bleachers.
The bleachers?
Yeah. The drama bleachers. Yeah, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I get it. No. At one point in this episode, someone says, there are two things that you can't have any control over, young love and mules. And I, for the life of me, like, I just don't know why that's a sentence that was ever written.
Dude, mules are freaking crazy.
I think we all know that mules are tough to control.
So's love. So's love.
I think we all know young love is tough to control.
Go to the honeypot. That's exactly what you see.
The honeypot, you'll see it. Yeah, people trying to...
Mule squared.
You know, that everyone who's a newly dating couple, they have to have a mule with them. It's a riot.
Wild.
It's a terrible line of dialogue. There are more things that are tough to have control over.
Name one.
Anything. I don't know. The weather.
Okay. That's a good
one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Add that to the list.
Yeah. The weather and mules. Young love. Man, the list is getting long.
Have you met Cindy Busby? She's good.
Yeah,
she weather.
Does. Yeah.
Too bad she's a woman.
That's right. Too bad she can't.
Guys, that's from the movie. Yeah, that's not how we feel. I just want to make that clear. Yeah.
You remember in the first episode of season 2 where we meet Jack's brother and he is full Mean Street Scorsese New York? Like, he is full like, hey, gonna get a slice of Tony. Yeah. Now, he is borderline Southern.
Yeah.
I don't know what has happened, but they have just completely just been like, hey, that accent, get rid of it. But I did it in the other ones. Doesn't matter. Get rid of it anyway.
Try something else.
His accent is gone.
You want to go for a drive?
And I don't.
Let's do it.
Get a car. Let's do that. I can teach you real good.
Get her done.
I don't know. I still am having trouble with this. Sure, if you want to say it's sweet that Rosemary sings to Lee at the end of this episode, you can say that. I mean, you're wrong, but you can say that. But she got this poor guy to craft and construct an entire stage and curtain so that she could sing for maybe 15 seconds. What? What? I don't understand.
Dude, love is hard to control.
But he's not in, she's not in love with him.
Could be.
This poor guy, that had to take him days.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst uses of time and effort I think I've ever seen, aside from me watching this show for this podcast. It's bad.
I'd make you a stage.
Thank you.
You too.
Really?
Yes.
I'd make you a stage.
Thank you.
Hey, Dan, I'd make you a stage too.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Is it what do we got next?
Would you make me?
Hey, Dan.
Would you make us stage?
I would probably, I would contract out a stage for both of you guys.
Yeah, but would you personally hand
build it?
Here's the thing, is if you two are building with your hands a stage, I'm not stepping on it.
Yeah, it's not true love at that point. That's a death trap.
Of the three of us. The only one you want maybe building a stage is me. Maybe.
Okay. Oh, come okay. on. I built my own path to my
house.
Have
you seen it? It's crooked and I think I have vertigo.
Yeah, okay. But
it's
that's
not
because,
even level.
But that's because the dirt wasn't level.
The dirt wasn't good. Gracious. I don't know if that's...
It's got to be better.
That's all
we got. Let's go to what do we call this? Hopes and Values?
Hopes
part of the
values.
Show where we talk about what
Pocket
in this
watch.
Episode
no,
gave us.
Jack, zero.
Zero Jack.
Zero. What does he have?
Oh, I don't know. Freaking saving Bill's life?
Zero on the smolder. Zero.
Yeah, but what
zero.
Hopes and Values. What
he,
gave us?
He makes Elizabeth smile once.
What gave us hope and what gave us values? Andor.
Hope. Can't wait for Gowan to get back.
Yeah, man.
Man, episode without Gowan, you start realizing, man, his presence is missed when he's not there. He provides something of interest. Valley, are we past halfway? Are we officially halfway with season two?
We're over halfway. Well,
over halfway.
Because episode seven yeah. is long, right?
Yeah, but basically we've got 2 hour and a half boys. And we've already watched 2 hour and a half boys and two short boys. So we're way over halfway.
Okay, great. That's my hope. We're over halfway done with this.
Man. Right on. My hope is that we get to find out what the point of the car ride was.
Do you think there's a car wreck?
I will say yes. I will. I just can't believe they made it into two episodes. I will say, like, while I despise, to use Dan's vernacular there, I despise Hamilton and all that it stands for. But I do like those two together, despite the fact that they serve no purpose in the movement of the show. So I don't know. I'm hopeful. They're giving me something. They're giving me feels, at least, them two together. So I'm hopeful that we'll see what happens with the car and at least give it some sort of meaning. I worry about, you said you're hopeful that Gowan's come back. I worry that he wasn't here in this episode. Like, what happened to him? Why is he not here for a full episode? I don't think we've ever seen an episode without Gowan at least being there for like
they
a line.
They don't know what they're doing making a television show. Like, they just have four different things running. None of them have to do with the other. And they just shoot the scenes and they put them together and they think that's television. There's not an ongoing serial arc of any kind in this season. It's absurd. My valley is I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it, guys. I'm telling you right now, I don't know how much more of this I can handle. Give me Hallmark movies all day long.
Yeah, man.
This is atrocious.
Me too, baby.
It's real bad.
Let's go. Pocket watch, no.
No.
Smolder, you said zero.
One.
Give me two and a quarter.
Two and a quarter.
It's time for What's Calling My Heart, the part of the show where we read an email from somebody who tells us what they've been loving recently, what's been calling their heart, what's been bringing them joy. Who do we have today, Dan?
This is Sarah Corcolis.
Oh.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Sarah.
Listening to the movie, the film and movie podcast about bringing up baby is what's calling my heart.
Wow.
My mom is the reason that I love so many classic movies. She loved Hitchcock. Not Psycho or the Birds, but all the rest. I have questions, Sarah.
Yeah. Wow.
Psycho's kind of a minted classic. The Birds not far behind it. And whodunits. She told me about watching Wait Until Dark when she was babysitting when she was 14 and getting so scared. If you haven't seen it, Audrey Hepburn is fantastic. And the scene where she turns off the lights in the house but forgets the one in the refrigerator, that's the one that left the impression on my mom. Mom introduced me to Notorious, great movie, Spellbound, To great. Catch a Thief,
so good.
Arsenic and Old Lace, and so many others. She told me who the greats were: Sidney Poitier, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, Gregory Peck, Audrey Hepburn, Ingrid Bergman, and so many more.
Daniel, listen.
My dad brought his side as a teenager in Greece during the 60s. American cinema impacted him,
was
too.
Was it ancient Greece?
He loves... No, talk to what's-her-name about that. He loves Abbott and Costello. Jen, maybe? I could be wrong. He'll still laugh until he cries at their antics. George Burns and Gracie Allen and the screwball comedies. Overall, I'm so grateful for this kind of movie education and background. What I really enjoy is being able to pass that on to my nieces and nephews so that they won't grow up thinking black and white movies are boring. Mm. Looking at you, Bran. They have a loving appreciation for Julie Andrews, Cary Grant, James Garner, and screwball comedies. They laugh until they cry at goofy sketches from Carol Burnett and Dick Van Dyke. And I'm introducing them to the suspenseful thrills of Alfred Hitchcock. I feel like I was just another link in that chain. That's what's calling my heart.
Love that.
That is a great email.
It's all very sweet. I
you
love that.
Check out A Film and a Movie on the Bramble Jam Podcast Network.
What was on yesterday's episode? Wednesday.
Yesterday's episode was from last week. It's hard for me to remember. It's Alonzo and I talking about two movies. As soon as we go to
see. It's James and the Giant Peach.
It's not James and the Giant Peach.
And 101 Dalmatians.
Is it Clue?
It is not Clue. No. I can tell you. Hold on. Just everybody hold on.
It's
The Social Network.
And Social Network.
The Social Network and Tammy. And Citizen Kane. What people think the best movie of all time, which
that's
I haven't agreed
for
next,
with. That's for
Citizen Kane, Social Network happened
spoiler
yesterday.
Spoiler alert, Rosebud, am I right? Citizen Kane.
Yeah. We will be back tomorrow. Christmas in Homestead, Michael Rady, Taylor Cole, classic of the week. We can't wait to talk about it. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thanks for participating there.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.